Ben.
Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
On OTR.fm. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are back for another wonderful week to share all kinds of fun ideas and information about communication and how we can better connect and communicate with those people around us. Now, for those of you that are new, awesome. Thank you for entrusting me with these next, about 50, 55 minutes here of the information which I'm going to share on the show. And for those that are returning, thank you once again. I hope you're able to get something out of this show once again that is just as useful as the last one. Every show I do my best to cover some new material, cover some different ideas, different thoughts, and hopefully be able to keep it a bit fresh. There are so many things to talk about, and yet so many times there are the basics, the fundamentals that we need to really focus on rather than, oh, yeah, I already know that. I don't have to focus on that. No, actually, it's go back to the basics. Start working on the basics again because somewhere we didn't quite learn them as well as we could have. Now, hold on just a second here. Not a good thing to cough into your microphone. Not a good thing. All right, so a little bit about me and what I do. I have a business called Positive Control Systems. It's a crisis intervention business where I work with troubled youth homes, working with their instructors. I certify their instructors who then will go back to their facilities and then train with their youth. I work with everything from drug and alcohol rehab facilities, the wilderness, I guess you call them wilderness facilities, where they take youth out on a wilderness trail and they could camp out in the on the trail and then they follow through with their certain program. I also have some what they call lockdown facilities where they have drug and alcohol rehab where it's not as voluntary, where it's state mandated or judge mandated. I also work with some facilities that are working with high functioning mental health. So there's a variety of different facilities that I work with. And with each one of these, they all have unique needs and I do my best to customize the program to them. And yet the basis of everything that I'm doing is about communication. How everything we do, all of our behavior is communication. It's based on communication. And if we're not communicating, whose fault is it? It's ours. It's our fault. Okay? We are responsible for the messages which we are sharing with the world around us. It's like we are a radio tower. Each one of us, we're both receiving and we're then also transmitting these radio waves. And anybody that wants to tune in can pick up the radio wave from us. What is our station saying? What is it saying about us? How our hair is cut, how we have clean clothes or not clean clothes, how rumpled our clothing is or how nice and cleanly pressed it is, whether we're shaved or not. This is for guys and gals, okay? Whether or not we have long or short hair, tattoos or not, piercings or not. What is our body adornment? Are our fingernails painted or not? All of these things are saying things. What kind of jewelry we're wearing? All of this is saying something about us. And that idea of understanding that this communication is going on constantly, we now have to take responsibility for. That's the basis for my crisis intervention when I teach these communication skills with these troubled youth homes, these at-risk youth homes. And so in being able to teach them, they can then pass that on to their staff and be able to have better interactions, better connections with and hopefully work and have better relationships with their clients, which it seems to be a very effective method for them to be able to get the results they're looking for. And as I mentioned last week on my show, I said that by the end of this month, I'm going to be launching my Empowered Parent pardon me, not Empowered Parent, that's the old one, the Ninja Parenting Skills, that's it, Ninja Parenting Skills Program. Now, the Ninja Parenting Skills Program is going to be, I'll be having some workshops where I will be presenting information about how to be a better parent and how to better connect with your teens. And then from there, those that are interested, they'll be going on my mailing list, and then I'll be talking about the Ninja Parenting Skills. Now, why do I call it Ninja Parenting Skills? Well, the reason why I call it Ninja Parenting Skills is because if you do it right, if you use these skills right, the teenager or adolescent doesn't even know you are doing anything different, except you got along with them better and they got along better with you. And they start working with you and complying in what you ask them to do. What's this? That's ninja skills. I wanted to call it Jedi Mind Tricks a long time ago, but dang it, Jedi Mind Tricks didn't quite work. Because, you know, this guy, George, I think Lucas, sold it to a place called Disney, and they have issues if I start calling some of my techniques Jedi Mind Tricks. That just doesn't go over well. And there are so many different things that are associated with these ninja, quote-unquote ninja skills, for being able to communicate. And it's, a lot of it is based off of NLP. If you're familiar with NLP, what is that? The NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. NLP is back, originated back in what, late 1960s, early 1970s, Richard Bandler and John Grinder. These two gentlemen pioneered the idea of the NLP taking information from Virginia Satir and what's the other gentleman's name? He did a lot of Milton Friedman, is that it? Quite a bit of work with the hypnotism or hypnosis and being able to work with the psychology to try and find out what was working so well with these people and how are they able to get the results they're needing from their patients. Some of them got great results. Others, what's going on? But some of these people were able to consistently get results, and they modeled them, and it was actually pretty interesting how good the results were getting consistently. Just a second. Replying to a listener. Anyway, so with these different individuals with NLP, they were able to get consistent results, and we can model them, use results from that for our stuff. Sweet. And so they've been refining it over the years. And Richard Bandler, he's done some tremendous, tremendous things. And they recognize certain patterns we have with our communication, one of which is mirroring and matching. If you're familiar with mirroring and matching, great. If you're not, great, because I'm going to tell you about it anyway. Mirroring and matching is being able to understand the body language of another person, how they're going to be responding to you. If you, for example, are standing with your arms crossed, and then they stand there with their arms crossed, they are mirroring you as if you're looking into a mirror. Very natural, very second nature thing we'll do to fit into a group or a crowd. Everybody's standing there with their hands in their pockets. You're going to walk up, stick your hands in your pocket, and say, "What's up?" In high school, I remember very clearly seeing the Cowboys. They were wearing their cowboy boots. They had their Wrangler jeans on. They had their hats. They had button-up shirts. Sometimes they wear a polo, but they weren't wearing the cotton shirts most other kids wore. The other kids, say the skaters when I was going through, they all had their skater shoes. The Vans, I believe they were at that time, always had their Levi jeans. They always had their some sort of a hoodie or a sweatshirt on, okay? And they always had their skateboard with them whenever they weren't in class. All right. Then you had the preps, and then you had the jocks, and each one of them had their own defining characteristics. The interesting part is if you look closer at them, though, they would also have matching body language when they were around each other. It wasn't just their clothing. It was their body language, too. And I found that I could, for some reason, get along with a lot of these groups. Why? Naturally, not knowing, I adopted their body language. Huge information, a huge breakthrough there for understanding the body language. Now we can deliberately begin shifting and interpreting the information we're receiving and also changing how they feel, other people feel about us by subconsciously affecting them through our body language. This is also done through voice tones. I saw a statement, I know memes on Facebook are not always the best information in the world. This was from a more reputable source, talking about how so many of the arguments that we have in a relationship, say when you're married and you're having issues with your spouse, or even if your partner, you've been with them for quite some time, most of the arguments don't come from something that was said in a mean way. They didn't say mean words. They said it in a tone of voice which caused the other person to misinterpret what was going on and set them off. Tone of voice. Not the words, but the tone of voice. These voice tones we use, the tone of voice, whether it's nice, happy, mean, sad, gruff, etc., it's going to be very big for influencing how the other person feels about what they're hearing from us. Also, the fluency, how easy you're able to speak the language, or whether it seems like you have some challenges, whether a speech impediment, whether you're, say, stuttering constantly, that's also going to change how the other person is going to feel about what you're saying. How loud? Some people, they just can't seem to keep their voice toned down. This is an indoor voice, please. Not an outside on the drill field yelling at people. No, this is completely understanding to change your voice when you're inside. Some people get it, others don't. Being able to also change the speed which you're speaking. If a person's speaking like they have, I don't know, 500 million things to talk about in the whole world, and they're speaking so fast you can't understand what they're saying, it's really difficult to understand them. They're speaking so fast. They're like, as one person called me, a hummingbird on crack. In the past, I would speak really, really, really fast, and it was difficult to sometimes understand me. As time has passed, I realized I need to match my communication speed to people around me. Somebody has a really slow, really laid-back kind of an accent and the way they're kind of communicating, then just kind of easily turn into the same thing. That person's going to be your best friend in just a few minutes if they're interested in being your friend. If all else fails, you're going to be getting along with them. You're not speaking too fast and sounding like some city slicker that's going way too quick with his words. Instead, people in the city, they always want to go, 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 go. They want people to share the information, get it over with, so I can move on. Okay? Big changes. How are we communicating? We'll find out right after this break.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper on the Positive Communication Show on OTR.FM. All right. We were speaking right before the break about the different communication ways that we have, the different ways that we can be interacting with people and how our voice tones can really make a big difference. How many of you have ever heard of Anthony Robbins? Guy's great. He's been in the self-help arena, I would say, for probably close to 20, 25 years or so, maybe even more. And one of the things that really struck me about 20 years ago when I first picked up one of his programs was that he would really use his voice, lots of passion. And he would speak to you. He wouldn't be yelling. He would like an intense whisper as he was telling you, live with passion. I mean, it was phenomenal. I really got into, okay, I can change the way I'm speaking. I can influence the way I'm thinking by really impressing other people the way I'm talking, and I can make a difference, and I'll be able to make them happy. I can really connect, and it made some great results for me, and yet I still had more to learn. It did make some differences, and yet it was only part of what I needed to learn. However, Anthony Robbins was using a lot of information from NLP. He now changed it. It's called NAC, Neural Associative Conditioning, which is to me another spin on NLP, but that way he can't use the NLP word or the name, so he'll call it NAC instead, the Neural Associative Conditioning. Anyway, same idea of being able to understand the brain, how it processes information, and how we can change the association we have within our brain to certain events, so that way you can get rid of phobias, you can change the way that you're feeling about individuals, past relationships, all these great things. NLP is phenomenal in that. Okay, there's a great book. Let's see if I can see it on my shelf here. I think it's called Get the Life You Want by Richard Bandler. Love the book. It has some great information on how you can begin changing your perspective, everything from childhood traumas to grade school issues or boyfriend, girlfriend, both, neither, any of those from past experiences, traumatic experiences you've had, all those things are all associated with how we are able to look at or experience our memories. Now, with memories, this is an interesting thing. I was working with my oldest daughter, who's here at home. She's 20 right now, and she was going through some work for her college class, giving a presentation. And she, even just thinking about it, started to get nervous. And she said, Dad, I don't know if I can do this. I'm starting to feel sick. I'm not even there yet. I'm not even at school. I'm here at home. I'm sitting on the couch, and yet I'm starting to think of it. I'm like, oh, no, I'm already getting nervous and feeling. I'll say, okay, all right, stop, right there, stop. I didn't give her all the backstory, didn't give her a whole bunch of information. I just walked her through a simple technique that Richard Bandler talks about and uses extensively. It's an NLP, a very simple NLP technique of being able to change what he calls the submodalities of a situation. Now, submodalities, we need to first break into how we look at modalities in the first place. We call primary learning modalities. I call them the primary learning languages, okay? So there's five total. There's auditory, which is hearing and speaking. Visual, which would be seeing and being able to translate the words we're using so somebody else can also get the same picture that we're having in our mind. Kinesthetic, which is going to be feeling. Now, it's broken into both feeling emotionally as well as feeling physically with your body. Then we also have gustatory, which is taste, and olfactory, which is smell. Primarily, we're going to be working with the auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. Those are our favorites. Those are our big bang for your buck type of communication styles, which now when you understand that, you can match that to the individual you're speaking with. It makes a huge difference in being able to have the connections with people. It's phenomenal. So with my daughter, knowing that she's more visual and she's an artist and she's in, I think she's, what she's in a, is it a biology class right now? And right now she's having to do a presentation, a 5-minute group presentation. Her part is 5 minutes anyway on, I think this part was on coconut oil. Coconut oil? Yeah. Okay. Some of the benefits you're seeing with that and why it's important for health, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So coconut oil. And then I went through and said, all right, you're going to do a presentation. When you look at your classroom, you said only 10 people, right? Yeah, only about 10 people in my class. Maybe there might even be more that day. Okay. When you see that, is it big picture in front of you or is it small? Oh, it's really big. It's right here close to me. Okay, perfect. I've got two of them out of the way. It's big and it's close. Excuse me. Next, I said, is it in color or is it in black and white? Oh, it's in color. Okay, perfect. Now, all we're going to do, I want you to look at that and say, all right, You know how you can have on your phone or on your computer, there's a button you can sometimes push to cause the screen to get brighter and brighter? Yeah, now imagine you can brighten it so much that it's nothing but solid white. Okay. Now imagine this big, huge color picture of your classroom is right in front of you, getting ready to do a presentation. What I want you to do is I want you to push that button so it turns all the way white. You got it? After a few seconds, she nods her head. Okay, I got it. All right, now take a breath, open your eyes, look around. Okay. What we're doing is we're just breaking through, or breaking out of, I should say, that state that we got into by imagining that with the brightness going up, and then I had her get back into the state. So, okay, now, once again, look at that picture once again. Okay, big, it's bright, it's right in front of you, right in color. Now I want you to turn the brightness up all the way white again, all right? Had her do that two or three more times. Then I said, all right, now look at this picture in front of you. It's big, it's color, right? Now, what I want you to do, since it's in color, I want you to turn it black and white. Can you do that? Oh, yeah, easy. Okay, black and white. Now I want you to shrink it down to about a, it was a square about, say, a 4x4 square. Okay, about a 4x4 square. Now I want you to put it in the back of the room. That is the people you're working with, not the ones that are in front of you. That's the feeling you had. Put it back there like a, get a thumbtack and stick it on the back of the wall. Okay. And I had her do that a few more times. And she just said, hey, Dad. I mean, this is this morning when she came in. Dad, I wanted to let you know, my presentation, it was easy. It was great. I helped her also use some other techniques to be able to memorize the information really easily, which she now had pictures on her flashcards rather than a whole bunch of words she's trying to read word for word. And she also engaged the audience, and then she received some great feedback from some other students. So that was really cool. However, she was not feeling nervous the same way. How does that work? All the stuff, as I said before, all behavior is communication. If you're communicating to your brain, not just to people around you, but if you're communicating with your brain, I am nervous, this is scary to me. Is your body going to respond? Absolutely. It's going to respond, this is crazy, I'm scared. This is, I'm so nervous. Okay. You're now sending all those messages to your brain, and the brain will then say, body, you need to feel nervous. You need to feel scared. Fight or flight. Okay. So if we want to change that, what do we have to do? If we want to change that, we have to change what the brain is telling the body. And first, we have to tell the brain what to think. And believe it or not, the brain is not logical. No. Honest. It's not logical. It works in pictures. Think about it. If you are thinking of, say, for example, a black cup. How many of you out there are seeing the words in your head, a black cup? And how many of you are seeing a cup that's black? How about a coffee mug? Got the handle on the side. Okay. How about a black stapler? All right. Some of you may be seeing a black stapler from when you went to school, the metal ones, and others may be seeing these new fancy ones that are standing on their end. Doesn't matter. You are now seeing a black stapler in your head. Because our brain does not see a black stapler. It sees a picture instead. And so it communicates with us in pictures. And if we use pictures, we can now influence our memory in a very, very strong way. That's one of the phenomenal things about our memory. It's incredible. And our brain is that we can now control how we imagine something to be. People say, well, what if you can't see? What if you can't imagine things? Well, there's actually ways you can do it. If you're, I know of a gentleman, see if I can think of his name, Robert Bruce. He has a book called, it was on astral projection, the NEW, the New Energy Way, from back, I don't know, 20 years ago. He has had a couple of books since then. Good stuff, good information. And he talked about one of his techniques he used for blind people that have never before seen. And he would, instead of saying, okay, imagine the color, he would say, imagine how it feels. And they would create a 3D image of a physical object in their head that they can feel, like as if they had 1,000 hands to go around it all at once. Excuse me, pardon me. And by being able to then create that image, they can now imagine that solid object in front of them. Of course, they're not seeing colors. They don't know what color it is. They've never seen it before. However, they can be able to feel the shape of things. Okay. So being able to recognize, everyone has their own way of being able to perceive. It may be different than yours. It may be the same as yours. It may be similar to yours. Find the best way that they are perceiving the information and then be able to work with them from their perspective, coming from where they are rather than where you are. Now, why is this so important? Why am I mentioning coming from where they are rather than from where you are? Well, because if you are trying to speak a language, if you are a stranger in a strange land and you are trying to learn a language, do you try and force those people to learn your language so that you can get by? Chances are no. You are going to learn their language. You are going to start where they are at rather than letting them start where you are at. You have to put yourself in their shoes first. You have to be able to know what's going on before you can now say, oh, okay, this is what you're meaning. Now I can teach you my language or my perception. Go to them first. If you try and force them to see from your perspective first, you're going to get a lot of negative feedback. At least from my perspective, a great example as a linguist is looking at the French. So many people have bad perspectives and perceptions of the French, especially Americans. Oh, they're so arrogant. They won't even talk to us. They won't even speak English to us when we're over there. Oh, imagine that. It's another country, my fellow American. And if you try and speak American, it's called English. Thank you very much. You speak American over there and they won't speak American back to me. Guess what, my ignorant friend? I'm sorry. They're not going to speak American to you. They may speak English if they're really feeling nice, but most of the time, if you go to France, you should learn to speak French. Okay? The same way I feel that if a person comes to America, they should learn to speak English. If I go to Mexico, I learn to speak Spanish. I already have been learning to speak Spanish. If I'm going over to Romania, I learn to speak Romanian. I will speak Romanian. If I go over to Russia, I will learn my Russian. Because to me, if you're going to learn someone else's language, that's a sign of respect. And so if I am working with somebody and speaking with them and communicating with them, then they should learn. Actually, they don't have to learn to speak my language. I need to learn to speak their language first so I can understand where they are coming from. If I don't know where they've been, how can I connect with them? How can I communicate with them? How can I help them if they need help? This is an important part when you have a relationship, especially when working with your kids. I'll talk about this right after the break. Stick around.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OTR.FM. All right, so Man, oh man, oh man. Learning to speak another person's language. And not just their verbal language, as in Spanish, Italian, Japanese, English, French, Chinese, Urdu. It doesn't matter, okay? Yes, you may have that verbal style of a language. And there's also the way that you connect with other people, the type of words that you would use. I mentioned earlier the auditory, visual, kinesthetic, gustatory, and olfactory, the primary learning modalities or primary learning languages. When you learn to speak those kind of languages, surprisingly, you can really get to know someone quite well. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Nothing's perfect that way. And yet, by being able to use this and pay attention to it, you can really be able to connect with people very quickly. Is this manipulation? Absolutely. What's wrong with that? Nothing, actually. We manipulate people all day long, don't we? You say, no, we don't manipulate people. We're above that. We want to be honest. Really? Okay. Really. So if you smile at somebody, you're not expecting them to smile back at you. Well, that's different. Really? Well, if you get right down to it, it's not. You are attempting to manipulate their response to you by being able to do something first. That may be something as simple as smiling, waving, being able to, I don't know, how about holding out money? That's going to have some sort of a connection, right? That's going to create an incredible connection. I have money. Oh, you wave a $50 bill around and you're trying to get a table at a place to eat. And if it's not a really fancy place, 50 bucks is going to get you far away. If not, you might have to hold up a couple of hundreds. Either way, okay, you're going to be able to get a different response from certain individuals. Other people, you wave money at them, they'll actually turn away from you. So what is their language? What is something that motivates them? And how can you be able to, I know, here's the word, manipulate them? When I learn to speak a foreign language, that in itself is a form of manipulation. I am working, when I do that, to be able to influence them through the way that I communicate with them. I'm working at a company right now. I will not name the company. For those that are in this area, they will know the company, so I will not name the company. And working with them, and I have a gentleman over there that I was able to be very excited to meet. He is Romanian. He speaks Romanian. He has a brother that will come back through every once in a while. He used to work at the company too. I'm like, sweet. I got to go and meet him and talk to him the other day. Like, oh, Bună ziua, domnule. Cum te simți? Hello, my friend. Or hello, sir. How are you doing? Oh, vorbește românește. You speak Romanian. Da, da. Am învățat cum de mulți ani. I learned many years ago. Oh, okay. So we had a whole conversation just rattling back and forth in Romanian. It was a lot of fun. That was probably the most I've spoken to a native in quite some time. About 6 months ago, I was able to chat with one young lady down in I was down in St. George, Utah, and that was fun because I was translating between a Spanish speaker and the Romanian speaker back and forth, and that was interesting. And yet, with this gentleman just speaking Romanian, it was fun because no pressure, just able to connect with him, contact him, communicate with him. Like, oh, nice. I learned to speak his language. He views me differently than if I spoke English only to him. Even if I knew he spoke Romanian, I spoke it too. So when you learn to speak their language, it is actually, in many ways, it is a note of respect when you do so for them. I've spoken with a number of native speakers in different languages, and they, almost every single one, I don't know of anyone except for the French dealing with the Americans, because oftentimes Americans are so arrogant that I don't blame them at all for how they're treating us. If you speak your language, you learn to speak their language, their tongue. That is one of the greatest forms of respect to them. They're flattered that you even took the time and effort to learn to speak their language that way. And they will work with you. I have a book on Romanian. I was studying up on brushing up on my Romanian skills. And in the front of it, they were mentioning that make sure that you take the time and just speak the language. The Romanians, because very few people speak it, and it is more challenging for some people, they are very, very forgiving, and any effort you make is it's telling them, hey, you know what? You're important. I want to learn your language, and that is such a note of respect. So just go ahead and practice your language, and they are very, very helpful. I've noticed the same thing with any Spanish speaker I've worked with. I've noticed the same thing with Russian speakers that I've worked with. I've noticed the same thing with every single language that I have made the effort to learn to speak, including French. So it's not just the Americans. Some French tourists came through southern Utah when I was down there a number of years back. And je parle un peu de français. I only speak a little bit of French. But the little bit that I did speak, I was able to help them out. They had some vehicle troubles, and they were looking for going a certain direction. I could help them at least get them to the next level, the next stage of where they had to go. They were so kind, even though I said, I don't know how to say this, but this is where this is. And they were still very willing to work with me, very polite, very congenial. Okay, and the reason why it's so important for languages that I'm speaking about this is because when we speak someone else's language, their learning language, also their love language, which I'll get to in just a minute, man, your whole world will change with them. Whole world. Because now you have shown them respect. You have shown them, I find you interesting enough that I'm going to take time out of my life to learn about you and what is important to you, which is your language, your culture, where you have come from, who your people are. It's extremely flattering in many ways to them. And I find the same with someone who takes the time to learn about me. It's flattering. Wow, you're learning about me? Oh, thank you so much. I like that. Our favorite person to talk about, of course, is ourselves. And so when we're talked about that way, like, oh, well, thank you. Okay. And I mentioned love languages. Well, what are those? The term love language, I believe, was coined by Dr. Gary Chapman, a therapist. He's been doing this for who knows how long, over 30 years, if I'm correct. Wrote a book called The Five Love Languages, and since has been able to branch off, has a number of other titles along that same or under that same name of Five Love Languages. He has one for adolescents, one for teens, one for singles, one for the married couples. I think he also has one for children as well. So he's a number of titles under that five love languages idea. Great idea. I use it. I love it. I sell it. I talk about it because it is so important, so powerful in understanding that we have these ways that we want to feel loved. All of us do. Every day that I'm with my children here, and they live with me, five kids, single dad, every day that they live with me, they remind me that the love languages are alive and well, and if I am not doing my job, if I am not paying attention to their love languages, then I'll notice they start to misbehave, or they start to act out. They start to, in their own way, asking for attention. That's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing if we are paying attention to it. That is an early warning system for us. We are not showing them the love they need. Make sense? Okay, five love languages. Go through those. First one, at least the first one I like to go, is being able to have these words of affirmation. With those words of affirmation, we have kind words. We have words of praise. We have words that will be able to tell somebody, great job. Okay, being able to give someone that go ahead, you know, awesome job. These words of affirmation. Now, when I was younger, words of affirmation was not something that I had a lot of. And a good friend of mine, we were chatting about the differences in the way that we communicate and receive these words of affirmation, which can also be when someone gives you a compliment. And she opened my eyes. I didn't realize, because I'm very visual, okay, when she mentioned some of these and how when she made a comment like, hey, this is doing great. I'm like, okay. I didn't respond to a comment that she made. She gave me a compliment. I kind of deflected it and didn't even think about it. And then when it was a focused comment, a focused compliment to me, all of a sudden I lit right up. Like, that is really interesting. I did not notice that, and she did. That was phenomenal because I had not really done much with these words of affirmation. It was not a strong point for me. And I'm still learning. It's still a weak point for me. I am bringing it up. This is just recently, just the past month or two ago, is when she brought that up to me. Like, hey, I just noticed this about you. Huh. That is very, very insightful. Thank you for that. I did not realize that. That has been a weakness for me. And I've been making an effort to use that more with my children and the friends and speaking with people, because that words of affirmation, that giving of compliments was one of my biggest challenges. Okay. And then also other people like a very broad compliment. Hey, you look fantastic. Hey, you're this, you're that. Wonderful job on your test, or wonderful job today with your working. Oh, okay. Thank you. And it works really well for others like myself. I don't know. For some reason, I just deflect it. Most likely because in the past, I was only given compliments when someone wanted something from me. That's one of my suspicions. Anyway, so along with that, cool. First one, words of affirmation. Next one, giving of gifts. Gifts. Gifts are a big thing. For some, giving of gifts is the ultimate way to show love. For other people, they could care less. Me, I'm not big on that. If I make something, that's a different category we'll talk about. That's time put into it. It's an act of service, which is, like I said, we'll talk about that in a few moments. However, just buying something, giving it to them, not a big deal for me. Giving of gifts. However, I have a daughter. Gifts are her main one. A small gift, and she is so happy. She's so excited because I bought something for her, or somebody else bought something for her. They gave her a card. They gave her a small gift, even a single pack of gum. It means quite a bit to her. Giving of gifts. Make sure it's not a consistent gift the same time, because they begin expecting it and it no longer becomes something that's going to be showing love. It's now an expectation or a bribe, and it changes the nature of that love language. Okay, moving on from there. We have acts of service, doing something nice for someone else. One of my big ones. This is my biggest one. You do something for me, it makes me want to do something for you. If you show me love, I'll be happy to show you love. You don't show me love, I don't want to give you the time of day. I'm busy. If you take time to do something for me, you have shown me that you are worthy of me giving you love. Now, do I think that consciously? No. This is subconscious. I have to pay attention to that. So that way I will be able to communicate appropriately for my other children. I do not want to leave them out. Okay? Got two more, quality time and physical touch. We don't have time to cover them before the break, and yet we will cover them right after the break coming up in just a few seconds. You're out.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OTR.FM. All right, we've covered with the five love languages. We've covered the words of affirmation. We covered the next one, which is giving of gifts. Then after that, we covered the acts of service. Now, actually, let me go over acts of service a little bit more. When I have someone do something, this is something that you are not expecting. This is something you are not asking for. If you ask for it, it no longer becomes the same. It's no longer the act of service. Now it oftentimes becomes an obligation. It's now something that, okay, fine, I have to do it. Whatever, I'll do it for you. If they do it for you unbidden, unasked for, that's something interesting. My the young daughter that is 14, she needed a swimsuit. I haven't bought her a swimsuit in like 2 years. She says, oh, Dad, it's really, really, really tight. And can you get me another one? Oh, okay, whatever. So she found some online. Dad, it's not very much. Can you please get it for me? Like, oh, okay. Let's see. Yep, I have enough in my account and enough in my budget for that. I can do that. So I purchased it for her. She was so happy. I haven't seen her that happy in a long time. Then we had talked, I think, a week or so ago about my love languages and how I don't feel like I am. I'm not feeling that I'm getting my love language fulfilled, and my love language is the acts of service, and explaining what that was. Oh, okay. She said, Dad, you want me to work on your shoulder? I'm like, okay. In the past, I have actually said, no, that's okay. You don't have to. When I was married, I remember my ex-wife would occasionally ask me that, and I'd say, no, that's okay. It's kind of hard for your hands. And I didn't realize that she was trying to show love, and I was clueless. I screwed up so badly in so many ways back then. And so when my daughter offered this to me, I'm like, okay, yeah, remember those old lessons she's offering. And yes, she doesn't have super strong hands, but she can make the effort, and that's her showing love to you. Accept it and be grateful. Okay, I did. And she now appreciates me for doing that. I bought something for her. She did this for me. It's now the reciprocity. It's not an obligation, though. She doesn't feel like she has to. She wants to out of the goodness of her heart. That is so important. Can you understand that? You need, when you're doing any of these things for someone else, whether it's taking time to speak with them, whether it's being able to watch a movie, whatever it is, being able to make dinner for someone, whatever it is that you're doing for them, doing with them, whatever. It cannot be out of a sense of obligation. It needs to be out of a sense of openness and desire simply to do something nice or to serve them in some way, shape, or form. That is what changes it into a love language versus an obligation versus being able to have a chore. Oh, not again. I'll do this if I have to. Okay? We want to avoid that kind of a feeling and mentality. And for me, I also get that with some people. I'm a massage therapist. And the last of these, or pardon me, I'll touch the massage therapist one in just a minute when I talk about the love language of touch. So anyway, I digress. Let's go back to where we have quality time. Quality time is being able to spend time with someone. Now, that doesn't only mean that you're going to sit there and just be there with them. It can be. Okay? In the past, I've had relationships where just being in the same room reading a book with my partner at the time, that was enough for her. I was there. That was great. Just being in the same room, that was enough. That meant that I wanted to be around her enough that made a difference. Okay? Fine. That was great. Others, okay? The best example for this is my youngest son. For example, today I was writing, typing, working on my ninja parenting program, which I, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, by the end of this month, I'm going to be scheduling, having small workshops, and being able to get this program out into the world. Okay, this is also keeping me on a schedule, saying, okay, I've got an obligation here. Yes, I can say, all right, go ahead, this website here. Okay. So anyway, with that being the case, with my son, he came inside of my bed and started talking to me. And I remember, this is a habit that I've been having, I've been building over the years, I need to stop typing, push my chair back, which is right in front of my desk, turn to face him, and listen to him. Quality time is what he needs, and sometimes it's just talking to Dad and letting Dad hear him, letting him know that I see his face, that I hear his words. I'm paying attention to him. Now, if you're married or have a significant other, or your own children for that matter, or even friends and colleagues at work, if they are wanting to talk to you, and if you are not acknowledging them with more than a, do you really think that they're going to feel that you are giving them the attention that you need? No. Or that they need, excuse me, not that you need, the attention that they need? No. They're not going to feel. They're going to feel instead that you are ignoring them, and they will leave feeling empty. Really important. Give that person the attention they need. The face-to-face time, even if, say, going on a walk, side-to-side time, whatever. It's being able to let them know you are present with them. You're spending that quality time with them in the moment. It's powerful. It's incredibly powerful. Okay? So learn to use that quality time in a very positive manner. Say, for example, a guy comes home. He's been working all day. His wife, she's been at home. Does that mean that she hasn't been working? Oh, no. She's probably working twice as hard as he has. Okay? She wants to talk. She hasn't had that male interaction or adult conversation, let's put it that way, all day long. She's been talking to kids. She's been working on other things. She has not been able to have someone to talk to. And the guy's like, hey, I want to watch TV. Leave me alone. That's not going to be very good for building a relationship. Instead, if he says, hey, honey, you know what? I would love to talk to you. Can I have a couple minutes to unwind and to forget about work? Let me just be in front of the TV for just 20 minutes, and then I'm all yours. I will be happy to sit and talk to you and give you that time. Can you please help me out there? Yeah, sure, no problem. You go ahead. Okay, you get your time, and then you make sure the person that you love is going to get their time too. So that way you are speaking their love language and making sure that you are being sensitive to that. Super important. Super important. All right, last one, physical touch. Remember earlier I was mentioning that when we give a gift, when we take that time for giving acts of service or being able to give them the quality time, when you're spending time with that person or doing something for them, it needs to be out of a sense of simple desire to give that to them rather than out of obligation. Really, really important. When I do body work, okay, I am a massage therapist, licensed massage therapist in the state of Utah. I also work with Chinese medicine and some of the Chinese medical techniques. Tui Na is one of them. I also have other work that I've been doing for quite a long time, and I'm very good at what I do. I get great results. If I wish to give that to someone, that is a gift from me to them of my time. Because if I'm not giving it to them, then they are a client. And that becomes a different relationship. Okay? And I have friends that I'm willing to help. They have issues? Cool. And if they pay me, that's just icing on the cake. I say, no, I insist. Okay, thank you. I had a friend, her boyfriend and her boyfriend's son came over, about three, four months ago now. And boyfriend's son, he had some serious issues. He had a pain pump. It was pumping, I think, a drug of some sort into his system. He was in constant pain. And I worked on him for, I would say, about 2 hours. And he was noticing some tremendous changes in his body that he had not had since he had this pump put in, been having pain nonstop for like 2 years. From all of his waist all the way down to his feet. And I got it to go away in his waist and his legs and only stay in his feet, which it was still about the same intensity in his feet, which was incredible for him. He's like, wow, this is incredible. And me, I'm like, I got to fix this. There's some problem. I need to do it more. I only was able to see him once, unfortunately, and I haven't been able to stay in contact with that friend and her boyfriend and their son. However, I'm getting some results, good results. I didn't expect anything for that, but they paid me. Sweet, extra, bonus, nice. Other people, friends, I'll help them out. Family members, I'll help them out. I don't expect anything in return. That is my gift. That is my using physical touch to be able to help them. And yet you don't have to have a massage for physical touch. You can give a back scratch to someone. You don't have to be a knowledgeable masseuse to be able to give a great back scratch, even though I am. I am the master ninja of back scratches. Oh, yeah. They're phenomenal. Okay. So what else can you do? A hug. A touch on the arm. A fist bump. High five. Any of these are that physical touch that they need. And fathers, dads, please. Okay. I don't care if you're a stepdad. This is the stepdads oftentimes, if you need to hear this more than anyone else. If you have daughters or stepdaughters that you are afraid to give a hug because it's going to be inappropriate. Oh, I can't hug this girl. I don't want to be a pedophile or anything. I don't want to be called by social service. You know what? Then have your wife right there and give that child a hug. Be appropriate. These girls need it. They need it more than anyone else in many ways. One of the things Dr. Chapman talks about in his book, The Five Love Languages for Teenagers, he talks about how we have this love tank. And when you get enough of your main love language, you use other love languages to keep that tank full. But you can't fill it up unless you get enough of that main love language, which you need so badly. And if that girl, that stepdaughter, or daughter for that matter, I'm noticing the same issues I'm having my daughters, if I'm understanding them the way they need to, great. When they get older, they're automatically going to be searching for somebody else. They're going to need somebody else to be there for them. That's normal. That's natural. That's good. But when they're younger, you need to make sure that you are letting them know they're loved. And that hug, that pat on their shoulder, letting them know that you're there is so important. If you're not giving that to them, they will seek it out from somewhere else that may not be as healthy and as wholesome as what you can provide for them. My friends, I really enjoy speaking with you. Please go ahead, send any messages you want to Matthew Cooper in Lehi, Utah on Facebook. Remember, we must become the change we want to see in the world, because if we're not willing to step up and do it, who else will? You can't expect anyone else to. We'll catch you next time.
This